Well, I'm going to share some things with you this evening that perhaps you already know. I've shared them in different venues, but I'm going to talk to you about personal evangelism, soul winning, how do you mark your Bible for soul winning. I know very clearly that we have a commission from the Lord Jesus Christ that we're sharing the gospel with other people. If you've got your Bibles there, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. It's in a number of the Gospels in a different way, but it's called the Great Commission. And you could probably quote it by heart, I hope. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." If you look at the little phraseology teach there, the little word teach, it means to make disciples. So you go and you make disciples. You share with them the Word of God. Try to lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it doesn't matter where they're from, doesn't matter their nationality. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations. And then after they come to know Christ, just like Ryan and Lisa this evening, they are biblically baptized, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world, or unto the end of the age of grace, is the way that I understand that. But it's correct, where it says, even unto the end of the world. Another one I think is important for you to realize is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 20. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." We represent the King. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you. We pray you in Christ that be reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." One of the biggest difficulties that people encounter when it comes to witnessing is they don't know where to start. I'm just going back to tell you that was a difficulty with me, is how do you know where to start? What do you, you know, what should you say? How should you begin? Now, frankly, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to share with you something that this is the only way that you can do it, because I don't care whether you use the grace outline that Pastor Darrow teaches you in the Training Evangelistic Lay Leaders course. That's an excellent, excellent program. It's a good one. Use it if you know that one. The Romans Road, if we have time this evening, I'll go through the verses in the Romans Road so you know it, so you can write it in the front of your Bible or the front of your New Testament. The reason that the Romans Road is good is because of the fact that you can use that if you just have a New Testament. What I'm going to teach you this evening, a longer version, and tell you how to mark your Bibles so that you always know where to begin. Or whether you carry with you a gospel tract. There's over the years, I've published these, I can't even remember how long, for years and years and years, long before I came here, have you considered life's most important question? And if you always carry one of these in your purse, if you carry one of these in your Bible, if you're a fella, if you carry it in your pocket or something like this, I've gone page by page through this for many people, and they've come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And I say, "Well, are you trying to hawk something that you print?" No, I'm really not, because I don't care. If they get some of Adam's tracts on salvation, buy some from the American Tract Society that are using the right version of the Bible. But you need to be able to do something, because God has called us to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. But a lot of people just don't know where to start. And one of the greatest things that helped me, even after I was stumbling through witnessing, one of the things that really helped me was the word form, F-O-R-M. Now, I'm going to tell you how to use this form in witnessing. How do you get into a witnessing conversation? Because one of the prayers that you need to try and do is pray that you will have the wisdom to turn ordinary conversations to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at the word form, which is an acrostic. If you write it up and down, the F, and then write underneath it O, and then R, and then M. The first thing you do, most people like to talk about their family. Now, I like to talk about my family as well. I like to talk about my new grandson. Now, let me clear up something so that you know what the deal is with my new grandson. His official name is Nathaniel James, and then his last name. But they're going to be calling him Nathan. So if you've heard it both ways, that's because that's what they choose to do. But most people, you can get in some kind of a discussion by talking about their family. And so F stands for family. So as you get going, you can either talk about your family, and then you can ask them about their family. That can often help you to get in a witnessing conversation. The only problem is if you park too long at family and don't move along, then you're never going to get to the witnessing. Because the O stands for occupation. There are some people you meet who really don't have much to say about their family. They're estranged from their family. They don't like their family. They don't like their wife. They don't like their kids. So you don't need to park there if they don't like it, and you don't need to start preaching to them about the family. Talk about their occupation. Their occupation. And most people like to talk about their occupation. But you need to be careful about that. I remember when I was using this, it was very helpful to get me started witnessing. My wife and I went over to a man's house, and we got there, and we started talking about family, and we jawed about family for a long time. Then we talked about occupation. At that time, both Linda and I owned a printing business, and so I said, well, I not only am a preacher, but I own a printing business. So I used to be in the printing business. So we talked for probably 30 minutes on occupation, and I was about ready to get up and leave. I figured that I'd worn out my welcome, and I never got to the last R or the M. Because R stands for religion. 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 Most people will talk about their religion. Now, don't get in an argument about religion. Don't get in an argument about religion. You can change the religion question to the M question, which is the message. Message. M is the message. So you've got family, occupation, religion, and message. And one of the things that when I got up from this man and woman's home, Linda was with me, the Lord just really got me and put on my mind, well, what did you come here for? Because I'd already introduced myself as the pastor of that Baptist church in town. And so I talked about religion. And man, am I so thankful that I got to the message. Because it was then and there, his name was Jack. He was the coach of the high school basketball team. Jack came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he and his wife are living for the Lord to this day. But it really helped me in getting into conversation with people to remember the form. Family, occupation, religion, and then message. So when it comes to the message, now, this, again, is not the only way. If you've got another way to witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, by all means, use it. But a lot of people just don't know what to do. They don't know where to start. So what I did many, many years ago, I had to rifle through and come up with my old Bible. This is my first Bible. This is the Bible I use for in my ordination and so on and so forth. But what is very interesting in this first Bible is that in the very early pages of this Bible, I have written down a scripture verse. And so I always wrote it there in the front page of the Bible. And the scripture verses, the first one, I got a one by it. And it is Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 23. I wrote that right in the very front fly lap a fly leaf of the Bible. Now, this has been rebound, so the front fly leaf has long been torn off, but it is still in my Bible. I use it so many times, I know where to go to it in my Bible. So, when I sit down with somebody, it's like I know what I'm doing. I look in the front of my Bible, I did, and there it would tell me to go right there to Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 23. And then at the top of the page, I have written God's picture of you. God's picture of you right there. And Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 23 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, I didn't read the ones in between. I went right to verse 23, and it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when I'm sharing with somebody and we get down to the message part of the form, if I don't need to do that anymore, but I know right away to turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 and 23. And then I say, well, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 23 shows us God's picture of you and me. And then I read him that. But there's an interesting thing that I've done. In verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have a parenthesis around all, and above the all, I put an I. And then I say, you know, I came to realize I was in big trouble because it says, for I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because doesn't all include the I? Yes, it does. So then, where do you go from there? Well, that's real easy because I have a big red arrow all the way to the top of the page that points me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And so I would then turn, because it's very clear, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we're still back to this point, God's picture of us. Again, we are sinners. Now remember, in order for somebody to be saved, they need to know that they're lost. They need to know that they're lost. Now, after Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, I have that big red arrow up again. And at the top of my page, I have Isaiah 53:6. So I turn us into the Old Testament, and in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And I have him circled. And noted that the him is Christ. The Lord hath laid upon what? Christ, the iniquity of us all. And so I follow the same pattern again. I've drawn a large red arrow up to the top of the page, and there I have Isaiah 64:6. And so I read Isaiah 64:6. It says, for we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind hath taken us away. So now, each time I have a little discussion about what those verses mean and the importance of that. And so it isn't just a matter of reading verses. I talk about it and share with them the thoughts and how that applies to us. And then when I get to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, I got the big red arrow to the top of your page with the new title, Our Helplessness. Our Helplessness. Because we're shifting gears now. We've gone from the all of us being sinners and all of us needing a Savior to our helplessness. And then the verses Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So you can turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, and you probably know these by heart, but that's fine. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, relating to our helplessness, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's the time I take the opportunity to share with people how that works can never save you. Whether they're religious works or whether they're your good works to do with other people. And then right at the top of the page again, my red arrow is Titus chapter 3 in verse 5. Titus chapter 3 in verse 5. And you know Titus chapter 3 in verse 5, I am sure. But here's what it says. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Works don't save you. They just plain don't save you. And so we have had two verses that relate to the situation of our helplessness and the valuelessness of our works. And then my arrow again points to the top of the page to another a very timely passage, and that's John 3:16. And above John 3:16, I have written here God's divine plan. If works don't save you, how are you saved? Well, that's good. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And right at the top of the page now, from John 3:16, I have John 14:6 as the second verse that relates to God's divine plan. In John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nobody gets to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then at the top of the page, I have Romans 10, 9 and 10. We're getting real close to the decision part now after going through all of those. But in Romans chapter 10, in verse 9 and 10, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I also think it's important that they realize that they need to repent. And so at the top of the page after Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, I have Luke 13, 3 and 5. So I turn over to Luke chapter 13. And in verse 3 and 5, it says, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then at this point, I tell them, you know, when God says something once, it's important that we know it. But when he says something twice, it's very important that we pay attention, because in verse 5 he says the same thing again. I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then at the top of the page I have John 1:12 with this title, your part in God's plan. And so we turn to John chapter 1 and in verse 12. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And finally, the last verse that I have at the top of the page is Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Then I talked to them about the importance of asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their life as their personal Savior. And there is another passage of Scripture that I use because of sometimes at this point, some people say, well, I've done that already. And I say, well, are you 100% sure of it? And I've had so many people tell me, well, I think so. So I have 1 John chapter 5, 10 through 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 through 13. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself, and he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And then right at the top of the page, I have this written. Would you like to pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your Savior? Now again, that is just one of many ways, but I used that for a number of years and was able to lead a number of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. What has happened in recent years is that I've learned enough scripture by memory, and I know where I'm going because I still think of the family, occupation, religion, and message in my head. I still think of that form. But once I think of that and get into the conversation, I have enough scripture pigeonholed away in my head that I can share from a number of different angles depending on what the need is at the time. So you might say, well, what do you do if you only have a New Testament? Well, I'm so glad you asked. You can use the Romans Road, or if you just have the Gospel of Romans, the Gospel of Romans. No, not the Gospel of Romans, the Book of Romans. Romans is not a gospel, it's the Epistle of Romans. But here are the seven verses most commonly used in the Romans Road, and I'm not going to turn to each one. I'm just going to give them to you so that you could also write them in your Bible the same way or in the front. And in my case, right at the beginning verse, I have written down here all the Romans Road verses right here on the right-hand side of the page. But the first one is Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. And we already know that because I'd read it earlier. There is none righteous, no, not one. And then the second one in the Romans Road is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then there's Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The fourth one is Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then there is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth, and I have a note under the word commendeth, God offered or displayed or showed, God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then Romans chapter 10 and in verse 13, and you all know what Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 is. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, it says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Romans 10:10 and 11. 10 and 11 says, for with the heart men believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So the seven verses again. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 is number 1. Number 2, Romans 3:23. Number 3, Romans 5:12. Number 4, Romans 6:23. Number 5, Romans 5:8. Number 6, Romans 10:13. Number 7, Romans 10:10 and 11. Now, admittedly, in some of the Romans Road tracts that I have seen over the years, there's been a verse added or a verse subtracted in relationship to Romans. But remember, my whole purpose in sharing this with you this evening is if you don't know where to start, if you're confused about where you're going to start, what happens is you usually don't get started. So start with the form, family, occupation, religion, and message. And sometimes if things are going well, it might just be an FOM, a FOM, or it might just be an ORM, or it might just be, if the opportunity presents itself, an M, a message. You're able to jump right into the message. But this is something to get you talking, and then if you have this written in your Bible, you can use a long version and go through and share with somebody the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you can use the Romans Road, or, and then I usually use a combination. I usually try and have one of these because while I always have a Bible with me, because I even have a Bible and my Greek New Testament on my cell phone, it is difficult sometimes to have people read it on your cell phone, though I have showed them that. But I try and keep one of these gospel tracts or a Roman road in just about every jacket that I have. I reached in a jacket the other day to leave a track and found out that my supply was spent. And so you can stop in the office. A good little one is, are you 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? I carry a bunch of these, too, as opposed to some of these. I don't care. I'm not partial to what you use. I just want you to use something. I just want you to be ready to witness. And if you haven't taken Pastor Darrell's training evangelistic lay leaders class, he was talking about it, and in the next few semesters it's going to be offered again. And you say, oh, well, yeah, I've taken it before, but I have such a hard time memorizing. You know, if you end up memorizing just 4 verses in that class, that's 4 more verses than you had before. And really, you should start memorizing the Romans Road so you can quote it by heart to somebody anyway, or you can start using scriptures so that you don't have to have a Bible with you, because really, oftentimes, I've been able to jump into a conversation on an airplane or when I'm sitting in a restaurant someplace just by turning the conversation around, by beginning to talk with them about their family, their occupation, their religion, and their message, and then share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because indeed we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know this is highly unusual, and I will try and repeat the question. So I do want you to keep the tape running, Tim. Do you have any questions about witnessing that you would like to ask this evening? Anybody got any questions? Becky? The other day when I was talking with one of the soldiers, I asked him, what's your religious persuasion? And he named a religious persuasion. And then I said to him, you know, the real important thing isn't a man's religious persuasion. It's what a person does with Jesus Christ. And so I got around. I didn't say, oh, you're that religion and that religion teaches a lie. And you should. No, that isn't my purpose in this. If somebody asks me what the problem is with some religion, but I try and get them away from the religion and say, you know, what's really important is Jesus Christ. And because it's not a man's religion that's going to get him to heaven, it's Jesus Christ. Good question. So that's what happens. Yes, brother, what do they say? What? Okay, Tim asks, what do you say to them if they say, I don't believe the whole Bible? I don't spend a whole lot of time when I'm witnessing defending the Bible. Somebody told me a long time ago that the Bible's like a lion. Just open the cage and let the lion out. and let the lion defend himself. So what I normally would say in something like that is say, well, I do know this. I don't understand all the Bible, but I know that believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the New Testament says, has changed my life. Can I tell you how it has changed my life? So you get the onus off of him and then tell them how it has changed my life. Now, I started doing that as a result of that's a variation on part of the training evangelistic lay leaders. And so I've used that a number of times because whether or not they say they believe the Bible or not, most people who are religious today or not religious today think the Bible is nothing more than the National Jewish scrapbook anyway. They don't think it's any better than any other history book. So I don't go into an apologetic tirade on trying to defend the Bible. I just start sharing the scriptures with them because it's the Holy Spirit of God that uses the Holy Word of God to change a man. If somebody would ask me, Tim, before I came to know Jesus Christ, some of the things that were in the Bible, I would have probably said, you know, I don't know whether I believe that or not. Good question. Anybody else have a question relating to witnessing that they would like to ask this evening? Ryan's question is that there's a lot of false teachings floating around about the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, he used the illustration of yoga today. I ate some yoga. Oh, no, I guess that's yogurt. But anyway, I know what yoga is. The fact of the matter is what I would turn them to would be, again, the scripture. I would say, well, you know, there's a lot of opinions about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we know this for sure because Jesus said, the biblical Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I wouldn't get in an argument with them about yoga unless they're trying to shove the yoga or some other New Age teaching down your throat. Get them to what you know about the scriptural Jesus that is true. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again from the dead the third day. We know about this. When three or four months ago tried to get my opinion on the 18 lost years of Jesus. And I said, you know what? My Bible doesn't say anything about the 18 lost years of Jesus. And there's a lot of people who've written a lot of different things. But one thing I'm sure of is that I can know what the New Testament says about the Lord Jesus Christ because it was written by those who were his friends, those who were with him. So let me tell you about what we know about Jesus Christ from the scriptures. I'm not going to argue with you about the 18 lost years of Jesus. Any other? Now, I might argue with them in a different venue, but when I'm trying to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ, I try not to get sidetracked. Because let me tell you, the devil is, Pastor Darrow can tell you, the people who are on the tell teams can tell you, you know, we've gone into places where the kids were great, the animals were doing wonderfully until you start witnessing to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the kids start crying, the dog starts barking, the phone starts ringing. You know what? Our adversary, the devil, doesn't want people to hear the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's oftentimes. You have some of the people who've gone out on the tell team groups. You ask my wife, she's bounced babies on her knees while I've witnessed to people for the Lord Jesus Christ. One time I was out, I can't remember whether it was with Beverly and somebody else, but I played with this big dog. I hated that thing. It licked me three or four times in the face, but it happened to be that one of the ladies was witnessing to the other lady, and so I'm trying to keep the dog occupied so that they can get through the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'll tell you what, I think the devil was jerking the dog's tail. I'm using that as hyperbole there, but I'll tell you what, we don't realize how much of a spiritual warfare there is when we're trying to get out the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is my long lost aunt. She hasn't called in 15 years. You know, I mean, anybody else? Any other questions? We've got time for about two. Barbara. Yeah, that's a very, a very difficult thing to get around. However, I often have said to people who've used that to me, You know, it's very plain what it says. I try and pick the plain verses. For instance, John 14:6. It isn't open to a lot of interpretation when it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. It does not say, I am a way, a truth, a life. And so the fact is that something that is explained simply, there's not a lot of interpretation here. You read it for yourself. Usually what that is a put off. They don't want to hear what you have to say. That doesn't mean you should quit. But all you can tell them, well, you know, and I'm a plain person, and I just plainly believe what the Word of God says. There isn't a lot of interpretation to some of the Scriptures. Now, when you get to some of the end time stuff, sure, there's some doubt. But when you come to the salvation things like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, how hard is it? Now, it is true that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, but don't be put off by that. It's not our job to win them. It's our job to warn them. The Holy Spirit has to do the work in their heart. So if you keep putting out those, that's the way you interpret it, you say, well, no, that looks pretty plain in the Scriptures to me. And you just do the best you can and try and keep a sweet spirit with it. That's all you can do. But that's all you're called to do. Though it's Old Testament and doesn't exactly apply in the New Testament, basically the blood's off your head, so to speak, when you share with somebody else, then what I like to say is the ball is in their end of the court. You've passed them the ball. You've told them how to be saved. You've answered their questions. And if they want to use that excuse, that's what it is. It's an excuse, because there's some things that really doesn't take any interpretation to understand. It's like 2 + 2 = 4. Good question, though, because people use it. People have used it with me. Any other questions? I got about 2 minutes, but if we're done, we're done. Any other questions about witnessing that anybody has? Some people aren't going to like when you witness to them, because sinners love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's all right. It's no skin off your nose. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll what? They'll hate you. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours as well. Well, thank you. I know it's probably old hat for almost all of you. There's many of you here who are well past that, but we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do need to be prepared. And if we don't know how to get started, then use the form. Use the Romans Road, use the Grace Outline, but get familiar with it, get it someplace so you can know it. Use what I gave you this evening so that the next time you come into the thing, you say, what did that preacher say? Oh, yes. And then you try and get in with a witnessing experience, because you know what? You'll meet people that Pastor Darrow and I will never, they'll never step into this church. And you'll meet people that you can witness to that we'd never get a chance to. Heavenly Father, we